Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dantisha James. Today we're going to talk about, will you take a risk? Yes, I'm asking you this question. Will you take a risk? According to some Christians, risk-taking is a way to build trust with God. Risk-takers are willing to face challenges and put aside their fears even when the outcome is unknown. They trust God's guidance. With a situation seems hopeless, when situation seems hopeless, and Bascamp says that each time a Christian says yes, their faith expands and their foundation gets firmer. She also says that each risk provides evidence that God is their gracious and true to his word. I am a risk taker. Yes, I am a risk taker. I said yes to my calling in September 2012. At my lowest moments of my life, that's when I heard God's voice talking to me that I was his child. I didn't know how I was going to become the preacher he showed me, but year by year, my desires is to do his will and not mine. In September 2023, I've stepped out by faith, trusting in God in my calling as a teacher and a preacher of the word of God. As God lead me and guide me on this journey, and to learn that He is molding me to the person He wanted me to be. Are you a risk taker? Yes, that's my question for you. Are you a risk taker? Let's get into the Word of God. I love the Word of God. So let's go into Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. The Word of God says this: The Lord has said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And so we can read God's word, God's, I'm sorry, we can read God's promises to Abraham and think, "Oh, hallelujah, that applies to me too." But we cannot forget that God required a sacrifice of obedience before Abraham could receive his promises. Let me say that sentence again. That God requires a sacrifice of obedience, excuse me, before Abraham received the promise. Abraham had to be willing to leave the place where he was comfortable. He had to leave his father and all of his relatives, and he did. He simply moved in faith to the place God said he would show him. So Abraham did not know where he was going, but he had to move and leave his kinfolks behind and go where God was going to show him where he was going to go. And Abraham did that sacrifice of obedience, believing what God says and leaving what he's so comfortable with to follow God. And let's keep going on. If you are willing to have Abraham's kind of obedience, you can have Abraham's kind of blessings. Abraham marks the beginning of the Hebrew people because he responded to God's call and promise with a resolute faith that expressed itself in obedience to God. He is the foremost example in the Old Testament of true saving faith. So let's get back into the Word of God. Let's go into Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to go down to verse 12 through 19 and read the Word of God. And this is what the Word of God says. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back and praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? And he has no, and no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner. Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Ain't that amazing? 10 of them was healed. 10 of them was delivered from their leprosy, but only one came back to praise the Lord. Only one came back to praise our God. And the rest of them did not come back to praise God. Let's keep going on. Because leprosy was contagious, people who had leprosy were required to try to stay away from other people and to announce their presence if they had to come near. Sometimes leprosy will go into remission. If a leper thought his leprosy had gone away, he was supposed to present himself to a priest who could declare him clean. Jesus sent the 10 lepers to the priest before they were healed, and they went. They responded in faith, and Jesus healed them on the way. Let me say it again. They responded in faith, and Jesus healed them on the way. Is your trust in God so strong that you act on what he says even before you see the evidence that it will work? Jesus healed all 10 leprosies, but only one returned to thank him. It is possible to receive God's great gift with an ungrateful spirit. Nine of the 10 men did so. Only the thankful man, however, learned that his faith had played a role in his healing. And only the grateful Christians grow in understanding of God's grace. God does not demand that we thank him, but he is pleased when we do so. So we should thank God when he heals us. We should continue to thank God because we don't deserve it. So let's go into Luke chapter 8. I want to read verse 41, and then I'm going to go down to verse 49. I'm going to read, Luke chapter 8, verse 41, and then I'm going to go down to 49. So 41 says this: Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue's leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house. Verse 49 says this: While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue's leader. Your daughter is dead, he said. Don't bother the teacher anymore. I'm going to read down to 56. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, Don't be afraid. Jesus, just believe. She will be healed. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, My child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Ain't that amazing? So the challenge was the people that was in the house crying and mourning, they knew that she was dead because they seen it naturally, but not realizing that Jesus is the resurrection. And what Jesus said, it's going to live because Jesus is a living God. And so when they was laughing at him, it's because they were still stuck in their flesh carnality, natural realm of, hey, she's dead. You can't make it work with me. They was looking at him as a regular man, but he is not a regular man because he is God. So when he kicked them out of the house, yes, because he had to move the unbelievers out of the house because unbelievers are not going to believe what God says. Unbelievers are not going to believe what God's words say. So there's no need for us as believers to waste our time on unbelievers. We just got to pray that God open their eyes and give them more understanding. But we got to believe what God said by faith that I am healed. By faith, God said, I am healed by his stripes. So Jesus was telling the man, only if you believe, your daughter will be healed. And the man believed. And his daughter was healed. Let's look at this. The daughter of Jairus' ruler had died. Jesus' response was to encourage the father's faith, even in this seemingly hopeless situation. Throughout redemptive history, believers have placed their trust in God, even when it seemed as if all was lost. In such times, God gave the necessary faith and delivered his people according to his will and purpose. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 4 says, In you, our ancestors put their trust, they trusted in, you delivered them. Let us not turn away from Christ, who can help us. Let us do what Jairus did. Don't be afraid, just believe. Our hope is found in the resurrection Lord Jesus Christ, the one with power over life and death. Let me say that sentence again. Our hope is found in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one with power over life and death. So Jesus told the parents not to talk about their daughter's healing because he knew the facts would speak for themselves. Jesus was concerned for his ministry. He did not want to be known as just a miracle worker, not wanting people to listen to his words that would heal their broken spiritual lives. And so God, he knew that his facts, he didn't have to go out there and explain what happened. His actions would show it. That's why as believers, when we hear the word of God, we ain't supposed to just be a hearer of the word. We're supposed to be a doer too. Because not only would our words back us up or what we heard, but our actions should too. Can I get an amen? Let me go ahead and say amen for you. Okay, let me go ahead and say amen for you on this Friday. Let's go into Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And then I'm going to go down to the verse 27 through 31. And the word of God says this. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And so Peter was not putting Jesus to the test, something we are told not to do. Instead, he was the only one in the boat to react in faith. His impulsive request led him to experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power. Peter started to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the high waves around him. So us as believers got to understand we can't take our eyes off of Jesus and stop. We can't focus on our problems and our situations. We got to get our focus back on Jesus and his promises because we got to move by faith and believe what he can do, not what our circumstances did. And that's what Peter did. Peter believed what Jesus said, so he started walking on the water. But when he started seeing the waves, his eyes got distracted and started focusing on the waves. Let's keep going on. And his faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. We may not walk on water, but we do walk through tough situations. If we focus on the waves of difficult circumstances around us without looking to Jesus for help, we too may despair and sink. To maintain your faith when situations are difficult, keep your eyes on Jesus' power rather than on your inadequacy. Although we start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith falters. This doesn't necessarily mean we have failed. When Peter's faith faltered, he reached out to Christ, the only one who could help him. He was afraid, but he still looked to Christ. When you are oppressive about the troubles around you, doubt, Christ's presence or ability to help you must remember that he is the only one who can really help. God's response to faith that manifests itself in taking risks and stepping out by trusting him. So let's go into, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says this: "Be strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courageous. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." This verse emphasizes the importance of courage in the face of risk taking. And so, yes, as God's children, we have to take a risk and believe what God says and trust in God through the good times and the bad times, through the difficulties, through the tough times, through the situation. Because that's what God does. That's how our faith continues to grow and believe what he say. But remember, my brothers and sisters, do not take your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and start focusing on your own issues and your circumstances, but believe what God says and trust that he's going to get you through it or help you overcome it or help you conquer it. Whichever way, guess what? It's going to work out for your good because that's what the Bible say. It's going to work out for our good because we are children of the Most High God. And because we belong to God, he know what he's doing and he is in control. Thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration and God bless you and have a blessed weekend too. Bye.